With me to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, a chapter read into our hearing, was from chapter 4. I will be reading from the New King James. John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." I'm sure we're all familiar with this passage of Scripture, for it is talked about from time to time in many different sermons of how that Jesus met this woman living in Samaria at the well. And you know how that he asked her for drink and she told him he didn't have anything to dip with, and he said, "If you knew who asked you for a drink, you would ask me to give you a drink, because I would give you living water." Goes on to tell her more about her life, and of course, you know, at the end of the story, she runs into the city and tell all the people in the town to come see a man. I think the first time I heard a sermon from the Scripture, that was the title, "Come See a Man." But this morning, I want to come with another topic from the Scripture which we have just read. And I made a note to myself to read this Scripture with care. In other words, with taking notice and putting our focus on what is being said, who's saying it, and what should be the outcome. This woman had talked to Jesus for a little while. And after he had told her some of the things about her life, she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And then she had a question. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place that one ought to worship." Jesus said to the woman, he said, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews." So I want to take the thought with you this morning: know your worship. Know your worship. When she said, "We worship on this mountain, and you Jews worship in Jerusalem," she wanted to know which one of them was right. which place would be the right place to worship God? Should we follow what our fathers have done and continue to worship in this mountain? Or should we go into Jerusalem where we're not liked and worship there? And Jesus told her, he said, the time is coming when you will not worship in this mountain, nor will you worship in Jerusalem. You worship, but you don't know what you worship. And the reason he told her that was because these Samaritans, while on the mountain, had mixed their worship to God with the people that were around them. They had mixed their worship of the holy God of heaven with pagan gods and pagan ceremonies in their worship service. That's why Jesus said, you worship, but you don't know what you worship. Right. It's kind of like what Paul told the people when he got to Mars Hill, when he saw the many statues there to all these gods and even had one to an unknown god. And he told them, you are very superstitious. He wanted to tell them about that unknown god. Well, here the Samaritan woman knew God, but Jesus told her, you don't know what you worship. We Jews, we know what we worship. And of course, by saying that, Jesus knew all about the worship at Jerusalem too. How that it had been contaminated. How that they weren't following the laws and the rituals of worship that were laying down from the beginning, how they began to turn the house of prayer into a den of thieves. So he knew all about the mix-up that they had. But he said, salvation is of the Jews. So first of all, I want you to understand the word no. The word no means to be sure of. To have all the facts about something. To know it. You got to have all the facts. And you've got to be sure of the facts you have. Worship. Worship means anything that's done to show honor and respect to, showing reverence. It means to have a great love and admiration for. So in knowing our worship, we want to be sure that we know all the who, what, when, where, and why. We want to be sure that we understand and have all the facts at our disposal and be assured that those facts are correct. I get a big kick out of our president always talking about fake news. When the news comes out that's something he don't like, he calls it fake news. So we want to make sure we get our facts right, because I don't want you to think that I'm giving you fake news. I want you to be assured of what you worship and know what you worship, because it is the key thing in directing all of our lives. Because if you worship the God of heaven, if you worship the one and only everlasting, all-knowing God, then you need to be assured that you're doing it right. The Bible says that Jesus said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is seeking true worshipers. God wants us to mean what we say and do as we say and live in a way that is beneficial to his purpose for putting us here. I want us to understand that when it comes to the worship of God, we have to understand, first of all, how God works. We have to understand that God works in godly ways. God deals with godly things. And God's way is not a way in which we can truly put our finger on, because we are confined to time. The Bible tells us, the wise men asked God to help us to number our days. James tells us our life is but just a vapor, here for a little while, then vanishes away. But see, God is not confined with time, because he controls everything. So time does not confine him. When you hear people all the time discussing whether it's evolution or creation, and they get on this kick about how in the world can you believe that this world was created in 7 days? And I always tell them, I don't have a problem with that, because my 7 days ain't got nothing to do with what God's time is. When the Bible says what God done on the first day, that first day could have been 1,000,000 years. It didn't confine him to it. So instead of saying 7 days, you could say any amount of time that God created heaven and earth. The 7 days is just for us to understand. Amen, y'all. I ain't going to be long. I know. When I see, when Brother Matt gets up, I got 10 more minutes. So y'all just bear with me a minute. You see, because in God's plan for our salvation, it has come in steps. It has come in, as Brother Matt taught us this morning, dispensations. Certain things happen at certain times. At one time, you see, God spoke to the fathers during the patriarchal age. He spoke directly to fathers, then the fathers delivered the word of God to the people. Then you have the time of the law of Moses, where God spoke directly and gave his law to Moses to give to the people. And we went through periods of prophets and judges and kings and on down through the years. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 4 and the verses 4 that in the fullness of time, when it came right for God, God sent his only son into the world that he might redeem the world back to him. You see, because in the past days, it was the blood of bulls or goats. But now Hebrews 9 tells us that it is the blood of Jesus, yes, shed one time for all. And so we have to understand that in being redeemed, now we are different from the patriarch. We are now dealing with God on our own. So that's why it's important to us, as like Paul said in in Philippians 4, he said, I want to know him. He wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, because that's what our faith is in. And so if we're going to worship God, we got to have our faith in the right place. And not only does the world seem to have that mixed up, sometimes we in the church have that mixed up. We don't fully haven't fully sometimes comprehended or put into mind how God has worked the church. And when you sat down and studied about it, it's such a beautiful thing. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 that even the angels desire to know what God's plan was, how God was going to work this. And then the Bible tells us that now this hidden mystery has been made known, and it's to be made known through the church. But look how God set it up. It's important that we believe how God set it up and understand why God set it up that way. Because we got to know what we worship. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and around verse 28, it says that God set some in the church. It says first, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. The miracles of the workers of miracles, healing and so forth and so on. So we have to understand what those things were for, what steps God was taking. To the apostles, first of all, Christ gave his special words, gave his doctrine to the apostles. The apostles in turn gave that word to the church. Now, just as we need to separate the fact that the patriarchal age is gone, the law of Moses is gone, we have to also understand that at this time, apostles are gone. Amen, y'all. There are no apostles living, though God put them in the church at a time that was right for him. But there is no longer apostles living, so there can't be any in the church. And then he said there were some he made prophets in the church. There was a reason when the church first begun that you had prophets in the church. Because prophets displayed God's word in a way that let people understand what was happening or what might happen. You remember in Acts 21 that Paul went to Philip's house. And the next day there was a prophet who came there, who told Paul that he grabbed Paul's apron and put it around him and tied knots in it, and said, "Whoever this belongs to, when they go to Jerusalem, they are going to be bound in just this way." And so all the people there that was gathered around Paul began to cry and moan and weep. And Paul stood up and said, don't do that. Don't moan and weep for me, because I'm not only ready to go to Jerusalem and be bound, but I'm ready to go to Jerusalem and die. And Paul said that because he knew who he believed in. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 12, Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. So Paul was ready because he knew who he believed in and was not afraid to go to Jerusalem and be bound and put to death. And the prophets foretold what would happen. And then in the church, thirdly, it says some teachers. It's important we know that we have teachers in the church. Now, when I say there's no apostles, there's no prophets, you better believe there are teachers. Amen. I know this is true because Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 of 2 Timothy, I believe it was 2 and verse 2, that which I have committed to you, teach also to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others. So when it says in the first century church, continuing the apostles' doctrine and in their teaching, that's the same thing we follow today. Just because some of these things in 1 Corinthians 13 and 8, we know that some of these things in the church were going to fade away, were going to cease. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 says, well, there's prophecies, they shall cease, or they shall fail. We know that healing has ceased. We don't. Let me go. Let me come on. Let me just put this up. Get down here where y'all are and see if y'all are with me. Now we know healing has ceased. Miraculous healing. I don't mean, I know God is still able by me, but I ain't going to touch you and heal nothing. Hello? And ain't nobody else going to touch anybody and heal anything. The Bible says if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders, and they will come and anoint them with oil and pray, and the prayers will heal them. Hello? That's through prayer, not through the touching of hand, although I wish somebody would help me with my great-grandson. Y'all need to come have a seance, an exorcism. Because laying hands on him ain't doing no good. I done already laid hands on him. They ain't doing him no good. But you see, we got to know who we worship. We got to know how we worship. We got to know why we worship. Because when you know what you worship, when you know that you're on the right path, it will influence and help your every decision. It makes all your choices easier. Hello? Because mainly you ain't got but one choice. If you know God. God told Joshua, when you follow my word, I'll be with you. Wherever you put your foot, I already gave it to you. He said, only thing I want you to do is stay in my word. Turn not to the left nor to the right. Jesus said, follow that straight and narrow path. And that's important. Because like Brother Grimes told us just last Sunday, I believe it was, in Daniel chapter 3 and around verse 16, did not the Bible gives us the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know about you, but when you think about that story, think about the last time you burned yourself on something. Hello? Maybe it was the iron. Maybe it was the eye on the stove. Maybe it was on the s'mores you were cooking. Somehow, you know, roasting a hot dog or something. You know how when you're barbecuing, you drop that piece of meat down in the grill and you try to get it out right quick? Hot, ain't it? Think about that when you think about this furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced. Hello? But they knew God. They knew all about God. They knew what he was capable of doing. And they knew even if he didn't do it, he was still capable of doing it. And whatever outcome that would happen, God would be in it. When you know God, you can go through something. You can tell somebody, no, I'm not doing that. Hello? That's not what God would have me to do. You can answer the question of Joshua. choose you this day. And that's what we need to do. It's almost like we need to do it every day, because the devil is busy every single day. He never rests. You ever see him take a nap? I ain't seen him take a nap. He's always poking me in the back. I don't think he takes a nap at all. He never, ever quits. And you know, he walks around just waiting. Just waiting to pounce. Y'all like nature shows? Oh, I do. I look at them all the time, you know. And you know, the lionesses that do the hunting, they're pretty smart, aren't they? Hello? They will sit there in that grass and just sit and sit and sit all day. And little antelope be hopping around. Water buffalo be strolling by. Hello? And they'll sit there and wait till they see a weak one. Hello? They'll sit there till they see a weak one, where they can go out and pounce on it and devour him. That's what the devil does. If you don't know God and you're not strong every day, every minute, the devil will sneak up on you and have you strung out, messed up, washed down, turned around, and kicked out before you even know what happened. So you got to know God. You got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Said, King, we don't know what you're going to do. And we're not concerned with that. Because we know our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from this fire. Whatever you got going on, you got to know that God can deliver you from your turmoil. God can save you from your own mistakes. Don't blame other people. Amen. Don't blame other people, because you made the choice. Amen, y'all. Amen. The choice was yours. Oh, they may have asked you to. Oh, how long has he been gone? He snuck out on me. They may have. He brought to me 5 minutes, 5 minutes. So I got 7 minutes. They may have asked you to, but you made the choice. And if you know God, you know the choice you have to make. Hello? I know it's hard. I've lived every day for 68 years. And every day that I live, I'm hoping that God will help me make it a little easier tomorrow than it was today. And you know he's able? You know he'll do that? I had another sermon I was going to do this morning, and the two of them are still floating around in my head. I'm trying to keep them separated, because if I start, what I was about to say is going to take me another 45 minutes. So I got to stop, y'all. Y'all better y'all say amen then, didn't you? All right, yeah. Okay. Amen, amen, Brother Coffey. Amen, amen, yeah. See, the devil, that's the devil made y'all do that. See what I mean? How quickly the devil, we in here worshiping God, and y'all saying, hurry up and go home. See how quick the devil operates? But if you know God, hello, you'll have patience. And you sit and wait on the Lord. Yeah, waiting on the Lord is one thing. Waiting on you to get through is something else. See, the devil going again. See, got your mind running all over everywhere. See how quickly he operates? I was looking at my watch for effect. You're looking at your watch for a cause. Know your worship. Know what you're doing. Know that you're in the right place at the right time. This is where God would have you to be. His son said, upon this rock, the fact that I am the Son of God, I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With all the nuances that goes with that. The fact of his miraculous birth and ascension to heaven and raising from the grave. You got to believe all of that. You got to know that. You got to have the fact. The facts say that your history books will tell you that a man named Jesus Christ lived on earth. Hello? If your history books don't tell you that, get you another book. Get you an encyclopedia. It's in there. I have the Britannica. I don't have the World Book. World Book's outdated. It's old. And it's in there. Jesus Christ is in the encyclopedia. Jesus Christ was real. Hello? He died. And he rose from the grave. That is a fact. That's not an opinion. That's not an old wives' tale. That is a fact. And he is now at the right hand of God, waiting to put the last enemy to defeat. That last enemy is death. That's the only thing that stands between you and eternal life is death. Hello? And when I say that death, I mean dying outside of Christ. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. Then after that, eternity. Hello? And everything that's not following, worshiping God, will face a second death. An everlasting separation from God. In hell. So you got to get your facts straight. You got to make sure of what you worship. Because when you do, your life steps become easier. You'll find yourself making better choices. Because you know God. I taught a Bible class Wednesday night. And those little kids in my class, I asked him, I said, we were talking about how God knows everything. God sees everything. And I asked him, the book asked him, what were they thankful that God saw in them? And you wouldn't believe some of the answers. But they were right. In their mind, in their kid's mind, they were right. You know me, I had to break it down to them like a preacher, you know, tell them all the nuances about it. But when I look at what they said, they were right. Simply the fact that I'm glad that God knows me. Think about that. Do you know God? Do you worship God? Do you know what it means in the end to have known God? There going to be some to say, Lord, did not we cast out demons and do all wonderful good works? He's going to say, depart from me, for I know you not. Do you know God? Do you know what you're doing is correct? Do you know that you stand outside the ark of safety if you have not accepted him as your Savior? Do you know that? And without him, you will die and spend eternity in hell. Do you know that? And do you know that God has prepared a place for those who love him, who diligently seek him, who do things according to his will? Make your choice. Make your choice today. Will you worship God? If you're here and not a member of the Lord's church, we want to encourage you. beg you. If my arthritis wasn't so bad, I'd get down on my knees. But if I got down on my knees, somebody would have to help me up. But we beg you, consider the condition of your soul before it's everlasting and eternally too late. And if you're here and already a child of God, already put Christ on in baptism, then know your stature, know where you are. Know where you stand with the Lord. If you're outside, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. If not, set it straight now. Because I know God will forgive us and restore us. If you're here and subject to heaven's invitation in any way, please come right together. We stand and sing.